This is a time for the church to rise up and be strong.
That's right.
In the face of the onslaught of persecution against the body of Christ, against the church, that we are to rise up and be strong and be rooted and walk in faith and walk in the same kind of place that Jesus walked.
Have you ever been put down because of your faith? Then don't miss today's teaching from Pastors George and Terry Pearson's What Not to Do When Facing Persecution. Next, here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor George Pearson's, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Terry Pearson's.
Thank you.
And we are joining you this week on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Thank you, Kenneth and Gloria, for inviting us to be a part of this. We've been a part of this for a long time, haven't we?
We have.
And we've been talking, though, this week about persecution and what to do in the midst of persecution. Most of you know what we're dealing with here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries and what other ministries are dealing with. But, you know, it's interesting to note that persecution comes in all forms, sizes, and shapes. And in Mark, the fourth chapter, it plainly tells us that when persecution comes, an affliction or pressure comes, it's coming for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to choke the Word of God. And so there are things that we need to know about persecution and how to deal with persecution. And Terry, this has come from a series that I taught at church just recently. And again, for those of you that are wanting to follow along on the notes, just go to kcm.org and you can get all of my notes. Of course, it's impossible to go through every scripture that we talked about in our church services, but you know, you can have these printed out. And I took a poll in church some weeks ago, and I asked the people how many of them had friends that were asking them about the situation that we're going through here, and nearly every hand went up. So people are dealing with it, whether it's being a partner of Kenneth Copeland Ministries or on the job, at home, because of our faith. It's because of our faith and our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ that we are persecuted, and the whole purpose and the whole aim for it is to shut down the Word. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
To shut down the Word, to shut down the name of Jesus, and it's a retaliation from the devil, and it's a tactic. Persecution is a tactic of the devil to endeavor to shut down the church. But if the church will respond properly and do what we're called to do according to the Word of God, we will rise above it, and it will be, as the Lord spoke to us, a slight inconvenience.
Slight inconvenience.
Just like something very small and very tiny. And so, things that we should not be doing when facing persecution. Let me go through the list again. We'll show it to you on the screen. Number one, don't take it personal. In Matthew 10, it says, everyone will hate you because of me. Number two, don't bite back. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Number
three. It
really
means to do that, not just have a idea of prayer in your head, but to really stop and pray.
To really, on purpose, stop and pray.
Yep.
Pray for those that persecute us. Number three, don't forget your roots. Colossians 2:6 says, sink your roots in Him. Number four, don't blow your cover. Don't step out of that secret place, the hidden place that God has us in, of that protection. Number five, don't freak out. Fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Number six, don't worry, be happy. Rejoice when you're persecuted. And number seven, don't swerve from the Word. Stay on point. Stay right where you should be, and don't ever let persecution or hatred or anything like that get you off of your calling and what God has for you.
Amen.
Today, Terry, let's look at this. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to take up a couple more of these today. This first one is don't forget your roots. It is so imperative that we stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. After all, Terry, that's what this ministry has taught for years. That's what we've been called to teach people, is to teach them who they are in Christ Jesus and how to become rooted, grounded, and established in the Word of God, so that when the attacks come, we are unshaken and unaffected and immovable by them. And so here in Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7 from the King James, and then Terry, I want you to read from the Amplified, because it so describes what the Lord wants us to do here about this. In verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." What does the Amplified tell us?
"As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him." It's something we have to stay. You don't get there and arrive.
Right.
You are always working in
That's right.
"Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving."
Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. You know, that reminds me of the 112th Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
"The man with the established heart. He is not, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." And in that 112th Psalm, Terry, the Message translation says this. This is perfect. "Unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart ready, trusting in God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies, someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. There's nothing to the dreams of the wicked, nothing." And to go through all of this, what we're dealing with, what we deal with in the church, what we deal with as believers, hatred, persecution, we can remain, and we must remain, unfazed, unshaken, immovable. And the only way that comes is by becoming rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
Just like a tree, Psalm 1 talks about being a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth fruit. And that comes from heaven, roots that go deep. You know, you can have a tree that looks really good, but if the roots are shallow, a good strong wind and it's over.
Exactly.
So we want to have our roots, I like what the Amplified said there about having our roots firmly and deeply planted in Him. Firmly and deeply planted. You know, honestly, George, some of the devil always overplays his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just trouble in the world. Sometimes we deal with trouble, what we might feel like is persecution. It's just the world. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said don't take it personal. You know, it's just life. It's this world. But we can be thankful. He said, abound in this with thanksgiving. We can be thankful that even these hardships and the things that come up, to not be whiny babies about it. But you know
right.
what? They help drive our roots deeper if we'll cling to Him, if we cling to
the
Word, if we go to the Word, if we have some sort of discipline about ourselves, what we don't let our thoughts run wild, we don't let our mouths run wild, complaining and whining and feeling sorry for ourselves and so forth. But instead, we get our eyes focused on the Word of God and just sink in to
That's
Him.
Exactly what the church of Thessalonica had to do. Turn over there, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. This church at Thessalonica, they were a rooted bunch of people. And listen to what Paul said to them And Terry, jump in here at any point with the Amplified, because it's so good what the Amplified Bible says. But I'm starting with verse 3. We're bound to thank God.
Second
Thessalonians chapter 1.
Okay.
Verse 3. "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you towards each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." Well, there's a lot said in there. But what I was looking at in particular was this verse 4. It says, "We glory in the churches for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." So the Amplified say something a little bit different in there about that.
"Your unflinching endurance and patience, your firm faith in the midst of all the persecutions and crushing distresses and afflictions under which you are holding up." To be, I like that word, unflinching endurance. You can't do that just in yourself. It's not about just having determination and just...
guts.
just bear up.
Yeah.
But you do have to have some determination about yourself. But your determination is not to uphold or to withstand that in yourself, but your determination is to, what we already said, sink your roots in Him, look to Him. And you do that by faith. You know, He calls these light afflictions. You think, yeah, Lord, this is not light.
Yep.
Well, He called it light. So if you get over behind what He said, then it becomes light. It becomes much easier. We get out from under the pressure of it when we believe what He said.
Right. You know, He uses the word patience. Patience isn't just knuckling under. It's not knuckling
under. Grin and bear it.
But it's a spiritual force. The force of patience is a spiritual force that when pressure is applied to your faith, that patience rises up on the inside of you. And, over the years, I've collected some definitions from various preachers about different words. Well, patience is one of them. Patience is a spiritual force that keeps you rooted in time of attack. It is the quality that doesn't surrender. It does not succumb to pressure. It's constant all the time. Patience is courage under fire.
Patience looks like this.
No matter what.
No matter what's going on.
No matter what.
It doesn't look like this. You know, just, maybe it'll all go away. And if I don't look, it'll eventually go away. Patience, just calm, reassured, and doesn't even pay any attention. I've seen Dad do that
so many times. Yeah.
You know, just... immovable.
Just doesn't move.
Waiting for your desire, the desired outcome.
So when the persecution comes, when the hatred comes, when the tribulation comes, we remain fixed on the Word, stable in Him. And so we don't forget our roots. This next one, Terry, look at Psalm 91. What not to do when you're facing persecution. This one, I called it, "Don't Blow Your Cover." Don't blow your cover. And, you know, I thought about that in the light of a spy or something, a James Bond, you know, and not blowing your cover, not...
Leave it to a guy to think about James Bond.
And so, the scripture that he gave me for this, though...
That didn't cross my mind at all.
No, you were probably thinking about the beautiful covers on the bed, maybe, or...
Yeah.
Okay. Psalm 91, in verse 1, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shalt you trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler." There is a place of living undercover. And that we have to just remember that when times of persecution come or the pressure is applied, that we don't blow our cover. We stay in that secret place of the Most High. Your dad's been preaching a lot about the secret place. In the secret place is the place of rest. In the secret place is the place of protection. In the secret place is the place where they cannot touch you.
You know, George, some people think of that as it being just a spiritualized or spiritual place. It is a spiritual place, but it is not irrelevant to our natural condition.
Yeah.
They took up stones to kill Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he walked out from among them. He was in a secret place. Yeah. They couldn't, and I don't know exactly how that happened, but even though it was a spiritual, the secret place is in the spirit, but it's real. Yeah. It's not just a spiritual state of mind or something. It's real. And by faith, we connect to it. You know, that's interesting. This verse in the Amplified ties with that point three about being rooted. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. And Psalm 31 says, in the secret place of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You keep them secretly in your pavilion or your tent.
Right.
And that would be like pretty covers. From the strife of tongues. So he keeps us there. He keeps you hidden away from what the strife of tongues is intended to do. It may or may not stop those people saying things and doing things. It, you know, may take a while before that goes away.
Yep.
But no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you'll condemn. Prove it to be wrong, the Amplified says. So these, it's a spiritual place, but it has a natural outcome.
Right.
It has a natural result that we need.
You know, where it says here, the keeping us hidden in that pavilion from the strife of tongues, the Hebrew actually says keeping us hidden in that pavilion from the strife of controversy.
Ooh.
So there's a place that you can step into away from the controversy and not be touched by it in the same way that Jesus was not touched by it when he walked through the crowd and they wanted to kill him. In the same way that Oral Roberts experienced in his ministry, and Oral Roberts experienced a level of persecution that I have no concept of.
We haven't experienced
it. We don't know what this pioneer has done for us and what has endured for us. And I was just thinking, I have a collection of some of his books that I've had over the years. And this particular one here is Oral Roberts' life story, which was written in 1952.
He still had a lot of life to go, didn't he?
But listen to this, Terry. This is just one incident. You might have time for a couple more. But he said, one night I was up preaching and great power was upon me. A man standing across the street pulled out his revolver, pointed it at me, and pulled the trigger. The bullet missed my head by inches as the slug tore through the tent just above my head. The newspapers heard about it and carried the story of how I'd been shot at. The United Press carried it from coast to coast. We never learned the identity of the man who shot me. We didn't try to. The power of the Lord was coming down to heal the people, and we knew nothing could stop us. These people, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, R.W.
Shambaugh,
name after name after name. These were people that had come under great attack and great persecution, even with Billy Graham during the 50s when he refused to segregate his congregations. People would come to him and say, you need to put a rope right down the middle of this venue and you need to have white people on one side and black people on the other. And he refused.
Go, Billy.
Even to the threats against him, the threats against his ministry, the same thing for Oral Roberts. They refused. And you know what? They stayed hidden in that secret place.
Yes, they did. You know, you mentioned an article the other day about Billy Graham, and the title of it was Silly Billy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, who's silly now? You know, where's that reporter? I don't even know if that newspaper or whatever it was is even around. Mm-hmm. It's not the current American People magazine. But
right.
We don't even know if, I don't know if that's around. But where's that report? Where are those big blasting words?
Right.
But Billy Graham, his reputation is intact. His ministry is intact. And he'll stand before the Lord and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And where about those other people? Unless they repented, you know, they're going to hear something from the Lord, but it won't be well done. And same with Brother Roberts. And you know, the thousands, George, of untold stories that didn't make the newspaper on that scale, but the thousands of people and pastors and ministers and believers, not just reserved for people in the ministry, for every believer that's been persecuted, either directly because of their faith or the devil start up something against them because he knows of their faith.
The word of the Lord is coming to me right now. And he's saying to me that this is a time for the church to rise up and be strong.
That's right.
In the face of the onslaught of persecution against the body of Christ, against the church, that we are to rise up and be strong and be rooted and walk in faith and walk in the same kind of place that Jesus walked, that these great men and women of God walked, that we are not to back down, to back away and back off, but the intensity of the delivery of the Word of God must become stronger, because all of this is designed to shut down the preaching of the Word. It is to shut down the saving of souls, and it is to shut down, in some degree, it's to shut down the breakthrough message of prosperity. The lack that the devil has brought against the body of Christ, we are breaking through that lack. And this is the time of the Jubilee. And the Lord is also showing me something else right here from the book of Luke, that when Jesus said in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty the bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Jubilee.
Yeah, that's right.
That is what the devil, that right there is what the devil is after.
Freedom from debt. The year of the Jubilee was freedom from oppression, freedom from debt. And you know what we and many others have been preaching is for people to get out from under that burden of debt.
Yeah.
But when God wants you out from under a burden of debt, he doesn't mean so you live at less of a standard. He wants to elevate your standard. Well, as soon as you do that, as soon as you begin to prove that the word is true, there'll be somebody to question
him. And so what did they do? They questioned him.
That's right. They wanted to kill him right
there. You're Joseph's son.
His first sermon, and they wanted to throw him off of a cliff because of it.
That's the purpose of persecution. It's to shut us down, and it's not going to happen.
You know, and some people don't even realize that they are a pawn in the middle of it because the force behind it, Ephesians tells us, is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of darkness.
Your life is hid in Christ. Father, we pray right now for the body of Christ. We pray for those in the name of Jesus that have come against the body of Christ. We pray for those that have the same kind of spirit that Saul had upon him when he was attacking the church. And we love them.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for those who persecute us.
Bless them, Jesus.
And Father, I thank you for blessing them. We do good to them, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that the eyes of their understanding are open. And Lord, I pray over every partner and friend that is watching this broadcast right now that is experiencing one degree of persecution or another in their lives. And I thank you, Lord, that they're rooted and grounded and established in the Word, and that they're hidden in the secret place of the Most High, so that we can continue the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. We'll be right back.
The Bible tells us that we as Christians will face persecution. Maybe it's happening to you at work or in your neighborhood. Maybe you're being investigated by the government or the police when you've done nothing wrong. If you're a Christian, you will face persecution for your faith on one level or another. The good news is God gives us clear instructions on how to deal with persecution and walk in total victory at the same time, living above the pressure, completely fulfilled, and advancing in the things God has called you to do. Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us?, a CD sermon series by Pastor George Pearsons, reveals why the world hates Christians, what can be done about it, and the seven things we must not do when being persecuted. You'll also receive information on how to get a free download of Pastor Terry Pearson's sermon entitled, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. Find out what Jesus did when he was faced with persecution. Learn to rise above the intolerance and persecution today. Order your copy of Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us? By Pastor George Pearsons on our website at kcm.org at a special price of $20. Included in your order is information on a free download of Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's dynamic teaching, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
We need to know exactly how to handle persecution when it comes. And the only way we can know is by what the Word of God teaches us. And that's what this series is all about. I taught it right here at Eagle Mountain International Church to our congregation. And we've learned much about how to walk in faith in the midst of persecution.
And how to walk out from under the pressure of it.
Absolutely. And then, Terry, we also have your message on abiding.
Yes. Then when you order these, your messages, then we'll, part of the goes with that is we'll tell them how they can get their free download of that. What Jesus did in the midst of persecution that empowered him to raise Lazarus from the dead. I'd say that's a pretty good turnaround.
That's a mighty turnaround. You know, in order for us to be able to walk on this earth in a place of victory, in a place of protection, in a place of health and deliverance, we need to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Yep. That is the secret place, is being hidden with our lives hidden with Christ in God.
Terry, would you pray for those right now? Throw the net out there.
That's right. Now, if you have never asked Jesus into your life, never made him the Lord of your life, then he's very, very limited in what he can do for you. So just join me and pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
And that you sent him for me.
And that you sent him for me.
He was born in this earth.
He was born in this earth.
And suffered at the cross for me.
And suffered at the cross for me.
But raised from the dead for me.
But raised from the dead for me.
I receive what he did for me.
I receive what he did for me.
He bore my sins.
He bore my sins.
So I could bear his righteousness.
So I could bear his righteousness.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
I give my life to you today.
I give my life to you today.
Fill me now with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me now with the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, we want to give some things to you to help you in your new walk in Christ. We have this wonderful little set of books. I tell you, if you'll just get these and read these, you will be well on your way about righteousness and love and the Holy Spirit and how to study the Bible. Easy reads, but powerful punches.
Praise
the Lord.
Remember, Pastor Terry and I love you. We love here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.